Hello, everyone. I'm Bryce Rickert, and this is Hawk Talk, a student podcast on the QU Media Podcast Network. We are in the studio today at North Campus. This is March 11th, 2025. I got three guests with me today. Miles, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
I'm Miles. I'm a QU football player here, and I'm a sports management major.
I'm David Kelleher, and I'm a baseball player, and I'm a sports management major.
I am Griffin Taylor. I golf here, and I am a sport management major.
Well, thanks for coming in the studio, guys. We're happy to have you here. So, Griffin, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you came to QU and why you decided to start playing golf?
Sure. So, I grew up playing golf in Macomb. I've played golf pretty much my whole life, so it's a pretty big part of what I do. And so I was kind of on the fence of whether I wanted to actually play sports in college or not until like fall of my senior year. I didn't really want to know what I wanted to do. And then I had a pretty successful senior year in high school. And then I had Coach Tenhouts reach out to me that fall. And then that's kind of when I, for some reason, that was just kind of a clicking point to where I knew that's when I wanted to play. And so I took him up on his offer, and here I am now.
That's a cool story. So, quick question for you. What do you think is the most mentally challenging part of playing golf? I know there's a lot to go into it, picking the right club, you know, playing the wind the correct way, playing the right ball. What goes into it? What's the most outstanding thing about it?
It's really the mental part of the game. I mean, not only do you have to do some like math and trying to figure out the things you said, like wind and yardage and stuff, but you also just got to accept that you're going to make so many mistakes out there, and you just got to minimize them the best you can, because if you just let your mistakes linger in your head for the whole round, I mean, you're just toast. You don't really have a chance to do well. So getting over mistakes and just executing and having confidence, that's, I would say, the main things.
Very good. So, David, why don't you walk us through a little bit of what we can expect from QU baseball this year. And, you know, it's been about a 500, a little bit over 500 so far to start the season. But why don't you go ahead and give us a little bit of the backstory behind this year's QU baseball team?
Right. So it's my first year here. I'm actually a transfer from UVA Wise, a small school in Wise, Virginia. But it's my first year here. And the past 2 years, in 2023, they ended up winning a conference here at Quincy, which I find pretty intriguing as well. In 2024, they lost the conference championship game to Maryville 11-1. So things didn't go the way they wanted to. But this year, it's our dream. Our dream is actually to get to Cary, you know, win the World Series and, you know, do something this program has not done before. Actually, they have done it in 2017. I take that back. But We're all bonded together really well. I mean, we opened up this season at LMU, one of the teams in my former conference, and we showed a lot of life. You know, we still had a few pieces that were missing and that we needed some things to click, and then we go down to Tampa, play the number one team in the nation, and we end up taking one from them, beating them 9-2, which was pretty cool, and I was fortunate enough to be able to close that game out. But then we went to Georgia Southwestern. Things didn't roll our way again, you know, kind of a tough series. So we started off our first, you know, 9-10 games that we played very rough. And then we got back home. And ever since we've gotten back home, being in our home stadium, everything starts clicking again. And we just feel good out there on the field.
Yeah, there's been some dominant performances over this last little homestand, including a 20-4 win in 7 innings over the Colorado School of Mines. That was a fun game.
Yeah, it was. It was fun to be a part of. You know, it was just, we were there. Everybody was hitting the ball. Pitchers were throwing strikes. It was just something. It was fun to watch. It really was.
Everybody was clicking on all cylinders that day. Miles, you want to get involved a little bit here?
Yeah, what you want to know?
Tell the people a little bit about sprint football. Or no, you're NCAA, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're NCAA. My bad. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to offend you like that.
You good.
So, when did football start for you? Because I started playing about second grade, and I quit at high school.
See, originally, like, I started playing football in third grade, but originally, I didn't even want to play football. Like, I wanted to box. But my dad, he really ain't let me, he ain't let me do that, and he forced me to play football. And then I got to high school. Ended up going to the best high school in Illinois for football. And I'm like, well, my dad said he's not paying for college, and I just found football as my way out. And then the funny story how I got back to Quincy is the coach walked right, like, the recruiting coach at the time, he walked right past me when I was in high school. Like, he literally walked right past me. And then he texted me the other days, like, and he threw me an offer. It was so weird. And then when I came on my visit, I just committed.
Right away? No doubt?
Yeah, no doubt.
Did you go to any other schools and look around? And
I went to, like, one other school.
But you knew as soon as you got here.
So, basically, like, I wouldn't say I had a ton of offers, like, because D3, like, I had, like, D3, that's not technically an offer. That's just, like, a roster spot. I had, like, maybe, like, 15, 20 of those, like, a couple NEIAs, a D1 interest, like, a walk-on, some track offers. But Quincy was, like, they just throwing the most money, and I liked it here. So I was just like, yeah, might as well commit and not waste time. Signing day was, like 3 days away anyway, so it was late.
Wow. That's cutting it close.
Yeah, it was cutting it close.
Wow. So we're just going to kind of keep going around the circle because why not? Griffin. So you've been here for a couple, 3 years now. And what's the thing you find, what do you like the most about campus here at QU?
Just that it's a pretty small community, which I like. I am from a smaller town myself, so I think it just feels pretty natural to me. Like, I feel like if I went to a super large university, I'd be pretty flustered, and I wouldn't know as many people, which would kind of be, it wouldn't be as enjoyable as it is here. So I would say just small campus, small community, you know a lot of people. It's nice.
Yeah, it's really, it's not clicky. It's kind of everybody kind of flows together, and it's like you know somebody everywhere you go here on campus. That's how I feel.
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree with that.
So, David, you're from Dallas, Georgia, correct?
Yes.
That's you're a long ways from home.
Yeah, I am.
How is it balancing, you know, being a student athlete, being a student, and then being that far away from your family and hometown friends?
So, this year was actually a huge step for me. So, like I previously said, I was at UVA Wise, and it was only 5 hours away from home. But my freshman year, I got fortunate enough to play baseball with my brother, so I got to live with him and everything. So, like, that process at that school made it 10 times easier because I felt connected to home because, well, I had my older brother. But when I got here, it was just me and my dog, and I knew nobody coming in here. So first few days, it was rough. It was really rough. And as time got on, it obviously got easier. But I've learned that along the way is you can't hide from things. You got to be able to embrace going out to make friends, embrace, you know, hanging out with the teammates and everything like that, enjoying like all the activities they do around school, and just getting new to the culture of everything. Because if you don't, well, you're going to be left behind. And plus, I'm not saying you need to go get a dog or anybody needs to go get a dog, but if you think you have the qualifications to own a dog and take care of it, well, it's going to make the college process a lot easier.
I would agree. Yeah. You know, having a companion to come home to every day is pretty nice.
Yeah.
So, Miles, I know it's a while away. Mm-hmm. Have you guys started spring workouts yet?
Oh, yeah, we've been doing that. We came here like 10 days early.
Okay. So, 10 days early is a big thing. What's the fall of 2025 look like for the QU Hawks football season?
I say it's just going to be completely new culture just because of the changes we've had in the coaching staff and stuff like that. Like, because I came here it's going to be 3 years from that time. And I'd say we don't have any coach from when I was here is no longer originally here. So I just say it's a completely new culture. It's going to be different. Like, I always, like, with our new head coach, we always expect to win. It's just the culture he's brought in and built. But it's just going to be a whole new era of Quincy. Like, I couldn't even tell you how it's going to look, but I know we're going to do our jobs, though.
And that's the most important thing, is making sure you're sticking to, you know, the coach's philosophy and just buying in completely. Because I feel like if you don't buy in, then things can turn south really quickly.
Oh, yeah, you're going to buy in with Coach Gilday.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Huge motivator.
You can say that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm saying.
No, I just say Coach Kilday, Coach Kilday comes with, like, expectations, and you're going to meet him.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong. I think that's what this program needed originally, just from our old head coach.
I think that kind of brings a bend, don't break thing, and it'll toughen a lot of people up.
Yeah, I'd say that.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Funny thing is, our previous head coach goes to, like, he coaches at UVA Wise right now.
Yeah. I think, I want to say our SID from UVA Wise, I want to say he's here now because there's a truck that I see all around campus, and he's got a UVA Wise sticker. And I've even seen him wearing a UVA Wise, like, sweatshirt, but I don't remember his name. But I do remember seeing him, so.
So, now we'll start bouncing around a little bit. David, we got a matchup this weekend between the University of Central Missouri.
Right.
It's going to be a good series.
Oh, yeah.
Doubleheader Friday. And then Sunday, we move on to Davenport University. Let's just look at that Central Missouri doubleheader on Friday. What do you know about them?
Well, I personally, I don't know a whole lot about them. I do know that they've been ranked for quite some time, but that's nothing for us because, as I said, we faced number one Tampa. We've taken them down. We've been ranked in the past before as well. So, I mean, seeing ranked players and ranked teams is nothing new to us. It's not – I mean, we're not going to go in there with any bigger expectations than what we already have. Our job is to go in there and win a ball game, and that's what we plan on doing.
Absolutely. And they got a pretty stout record. They're sitting at 14-3 right now.
Right.
That could be intimidating.
I mean, yeah, it is a little intimidating, but like I said before, we went and faced the number one team in Florida, and they have the best pitcher in the nation. He has not lost a game since last year. So I want to say he's 19-0 since last year, and which is it's impeccable to see at the D2 level, but I mean, they're gonna have a solid staff, but it's not gonna be anything we haven't seen before. We're gonna be ready. We'll be firing on all cylinders, so we'll be ready to rock against Central Missouri.
And
Go
ahead, Miles.
I haven't been keeping up with QU baseball, but like, are y'all nationally ranked?
We are not nationally ranked. No, we are not.
So, I think one thing that is gonna be a key point for this doubleheader, both Friday and Sunday, is this QU Hawks team knows how to win at home.
Yeah, we do.
We're 7-1 at home.
Yeah, we love playing at home. We call it our barn. It's our barn. Nobody comes into our barn. Nobody walks all over us. We come in here, and we know that it's time to get to business, and we're gonna win some ball games. And we also it helps like we get really rowdy in the dugout, and plus when we have our fans out in like right field or in left field, and they're helping, they're cheering with us. It definitely helps bring us momentum our way.
Yeah, and that one loss at home came this past Saturday off a second game of the doubleheader. It was a 5-6 loss. So it was a close game. It wasn't like it was out of reach the whole time.
No, it wasn't out of reach, but there was some questionable calls in the game, and there's nothing you can do about it. You got to control what you control in the ball game. So I mean, the game just didn't go our way. Some calls didn't go our way, but that was the first loss we've taken in our barn, and I don't really expect us to take another loss in our barn after that.
I don't either, especially the way the game Friday went.
Oh yeah,
crazy, come from behind, four runs in the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah,
throw looked like the game was over.
Yeah, well, it was funny because I'm in the bullpen, I'm getting ready to warm up, and me and my catcher are talking, and their third baseman had originally hurt his hand earlier. I think it was in the seventh inning he got hurt, so they put a new third baseman in, fresh legs and everything. And he looked like he was a little jittery out there. And as soon as the ball was hit to him, my bullpen catcher looked at me and he goes, "Oh, bad throw." And guess what? Bad throw, and we ended up winning the game.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, David, I do have a question for you. So, when you're at a ball game, you realize the field dimensions in QU Stadium are pretty interesting. Like, right field is pretty short.
Right.
So, do you feel like your team is built for your stadium, and do you feel like it helps you guys a lot at home?
I mean, I don't know if I would say if they're built for our stadium, but I think we know how to use our stadium effectively when we hit. Like, a lot of guys know that you get a ball lifted in the air to right field, you've got a pretty good chance of it going out. But, I mean, our coach does a very good job, though. I mean, I'm a coach as well at the travel ball level, so it's good to see. But he does a very good job of mixing in lefties with our lineup, as they like to be pull heavy, most typically as a lefty. So, yeah, I would definitely say our field, you know, we use our field a little bit to our advantage, but we play the park like how we should. We use gap to gap power, you know, we do everything we need to do right.
Absolutely. So Griffin, little bit of a weird schedule here for golf. I didn't know that it took a little break for the wintertime. So your last time you played at the collegiate level was October 22nd.
Yep.
And you'll be back next Thursday and Friday, March 20th and 21st, out in Kansas City, Missouri at Sycamore Ridge Golf Course. What does that preparation look like for something like that?
It's really tough because in the winter, like, you're itching to get out on the course, but you can't because it's so cold and everything is frozen. So once you get done with that last tournament in October, then the off-season program starts to kick in, which isn't anything really too special. It's kind of just go to the range, go to the indoor facility, just kind of try to keep your game fresh for the spring because it's pretty easy in the winter just to kind of want to relax and just take it really easy, but you still have to keep working on your game. And then, like, right now when you're getting closer to the season, things are starting to warm back up. You're starting to get back outside, and you're really trying to get your feel back for everything because you kind of lose some of that. And right now we're doing a bunch of qualifying, so that's fairly stressful. See who goes to the tournament. And then, yeah, just got to hope you're ready. And luckily we've all been here before, so we know what to expect, and hopefully we can do well.
You haven't had any trouble qualifying, though. Last year you qualified for all 10 tournaments. That's pretty impressive. And you were a GLVC all academic. That's pretty special to do that and, you know, student athlete.
Yeah, it's pretty tough to balance everything, but luckily I was able to get it done, and luckily I've learned over the years kind of how to qualify. You just really got to stay in your own lane, and you can't worry about other people. So that has really helped me travel to all these tournaments, and that's also helped me gain a lot of experience, and I feel like I can bring something pretty valuable to the team.
Absolutely. Miles, go back to you for here just a little bit longer. Why don't you tell us what the week looks like for you, just off season, because this is a little different than these guys because they're right in the heat of it.
So this isn't my first spring ball, but this is probably, like, I would say, like, it's probably like the most different spring ball I had. So, like, usually how a spring ball is going to go, you got weights Monday through Thursday, and that's 6 a.m. You got two groups. You got the 5 a.m. group. You got the 6 a.m. group, and you got to go hard in there every day. Like, the goal is you just got to empty the tank. Then on Friday, you got running. And it's not like a punishment run or anything like that, but it's just like you competing throughout the day, you conditioning, and you got to get in shape. But then this is going to be our last week of, like, just weights, and you get into spring ball practice. Like, one day you're going to wake up at 6 in the morning, you're going to go to weights, and then after that, the next day, you're going to wake up and you're going to go to practice, so on and so forth.
Are you guys in shells during that, or you guys?
Most of it's like, I don't, like, there's rules to, like, when we can get in full pads and stuff. Like, in the past, it's just been the first two practices. You just got to wear just the jersey and the helmet, and then you can do shells, full pads, scrimmages, however you want to do it.
I gotcha. So you've been waiting for this transition period for quite a while.
Oh, yeah. I've been, like, football is weird because, like, during the season, you know, some people say, like, I don't want to play this as a snap. But as soon as it's over, you want to get back on the field. But at the same time, you do feel the consequences. Not consequences, but you do feel the effects of the season on your body.
Absolutely. And you came from, like you said earlier, one of the best high school programs in the state of Illinois. I know that firsthand. I've watched from a distance and watched that team be consistently ranked in the top 10 in the state of Illinois. What's it like coming from that to this style of football?
I mean,
this level.
I feel like I'm not going to say any high school at work ethics all the same, but it's just like the standard. I feel like Mount Carmel is the same. Like, they got a standard that's just like a college football team. Like, you expect to win. I mean, I've played in front of tens of thousands of people before, so it's just like, I say the adjustment was like the crowds were small here, but I mean, we get big crowds here now. It's not like how it was my freshman year. But I didn't feel like it was any different, to be honest, because I've been waking up at 6 in the morning and going to weights since I was a freshman in high school.
Yeah, once you get that mindset instilled in you from a freshman in high school.
I've been waking up at 6 a.m. and going to weights since I was 15.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier once you
No, it don't get no easier.
Oh, it's. I think it's easier.
It don't get no easier, I promise you. It just get harder, if I'm going to be honest. You get older.
The bones start to creak a little bit.
A little bit, man. My knee's starting to feel it.
Did you guys play on turf in high school?
Yeah, we did play on turf. Okay, but when you're a freshman and sophomore, you got to go practice on the grass at a golf course.
At a golf course?
Yeah, Jackson Park Golf Course.
That's crazy.
On the driving range, or where do you do that?
It's just like it's like a field outside of a golf course, like if you know what I mean. It's like kind of connected, but it's not a golf course. But like you can like step on the golf course.
Gotcha.
It's like a Mount Carmel tradition. Like every freshman go practice at Jackson Park, or the Bears field.
That's really interesting. That's super cool. Is there any QU football traditions that you'd like to talk that you can talk about? Because I know there's kind of some unspoken stuff sometimes.
I wouldn't say there's like traditions. You got to remember we're coming in on a whole new coaching staff this year. But I mean, like the players, you know. I mean, I feel like just like when you start off fall camp, you just introduce yourself. You just get to know, like you go get to know the young guys, make them feel welcome. Because I know, like at the start of fall camp, it's not easy for freshmen. Like you leaving home for the first time, you by yourself, and fall camp ain't easy. Like they hand you a sheet of paper, and the next 2 weeks of your life is mapped out for you, from like literally from dusk till dawn. Like you wake up at whatever time. And then your day is planted on the hour. And they even tell you when you got to go to sleep.
Really?
We got bed checks.
That, as someone who is not an athlete, that is crazy to me. That's, yeah.
Like, no, I'm serious, though. Like, he'll give you a sheet of paper, and the next 2 weeks of your life is mapped out.
That's wild.
And that's what you're doing. Nothing else.
That's wild.
That goes for, like, a lot of sports, though. Because, like, baseball, we're the same way. And, like, yeah. We have... Ours is through an Excel sheet, though. So every week, your weights are posted when you got to be there.
Man.
Our practice times are in there. Everything in there. Our colors that we have to wear. Everything is to a T in our spreadsheet. So it's
every hour on the hour. And nobody be on campus. So it's just like you got like there's nothing else to do.
Yeah. And so in the fall for us, what our coaches try to do, since that's our off season, we're allowed to pretty much have class whenever we need to. But when we get in season, they try to, they don't really tell us this, but like, it's kind of just like a common courtesy to know as a baseball player, try to get your classes done before 3 o'clock. So that way when practice rolls around at 3:30, we can all be there. So we can all, you know, work together, do what we got to do and get our stuff done. So
it's like y'all camp. Do y'all have class during y'all camp? Are y'all in some of y'all in classes?
Some people, like, you know, on a Tuesday or Thursday, like, they have a 6 o'clock class and
I just feel like it's worse on the football team because, like, you got to remember, we be here in the summer 2 weeks early, class, no nothing. It'd be so, like, I got a video of myself stretched out on the chair, cramping. Yeah.
Well, that's how we are when we come back from Christmas break.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because y'all came back from Christmas break, what, the 26th?
Really, really late.
Yeah, we came back the 26th.
Yeah, baseball was back. The earliest you could be back for baseball was the 2nd, and the latest you could be back was like the 6th or the 8th.
Oh, y'all was in here working.
Yeah, so we got 3 weeks off from school when we got back, so it was like, oh, this is great. And then next thing you know, where all of our days are planned out and everything like that, but then school hit. It took a toll. You could definitely tell it took a toll on some baseball players because, 3 weeks we got to do the thing we love the most, and then we had to go to school, and it was just like, whoa.
It's just like you got to flip that switch.
Yeah, you got instead of just being an athlete, you got to flip that switch to being a student athlete.
Griffin, you got any traditions or pregame rituals you like to do?
Not necessarily. I mean, I just try and get in the right headspace and just get ready to compete.
Y'all team got any end-of-the-year traditions?
Not necessarily.
No? That's okay.
At least not that I would talk about.
I mean,
okay. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. There's some of those. It's college. There's some of those that you just don't.
I mean, we kind of have some traditions on the baseball team. I wouldn't say it's really a tradition. It's more of a superstition. So, like, when we're on a streak like we are right now, you park your car in the same spot. And so before we lost that game on Saturday, we all parked our cars in the same spot and nothing changed. Like everybody, you know, if you wore the certain pair of cleats the games we won, you didn't change and everything like that. When we lost that game Saturday, when we all came back to the field Sunday, coaches and everybody was in new parking spots. People were wearing some new things and everything like that. So like, we're very superstitious when it comes to like winning baseball games. So if something's working, can't change it.
You know, I was on my way into the stadium. I called both games on the GOVCSN on Friday and Saturday. Mm-hmm. I got there around like an hour and 15 minutes beforehand. And I walked past J.D. Ortiz walking into the stadium at the exact same time both days. And then I walked in and saw Mason Google standing in the same spot. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking around. I'm like, these guys look like they've been standing here since I saw them here yesterday.
Yeah, no, it's insane. You'll see, like, there's, like, we have a prayer group and everything. So, like, you'll see, like, we always have a coach that's meeting us at the dugout as soon as prayer group's over with to, you know, to clap us up and everything. So, it's, like, everything is to, like, to a T. Everything's perfect on game days. And, like, position players and pitchers, we have this tradition called two ball. So, after we get done with BP, we go play two ball. And it's just, like, if you played when we were winning, you can't not play the next day. But if you didn't play while we were winning, that sucks. You can't get in until we lose again.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Do you have anything? I know it's a little different because most of the time you're coming out of the bullpen.
Right.
Is there something that gets you locked in the bullpen? You know, coach tells you, hey, go get ready.
In the bullpen, I mean, it really kind of starts with the stretching. Like, when you start stretching, you kind of just got to turn off that part of your brain and just start locking into the game. But, like, for me, It's when I step foot across that line. When I cross that line to go into the game and then I start hearing my, like, pregame music and everything, I can feel everything starting to flow. Everything starts slowing down and the game is just like, all right, like, you're doing what you've done since you're a child. Love it. Do it and go have fun with it.
Yeah, and you take a big hop over that chalk line.
Yeah, so my freshman year of high school, I didn't make my high school team. So I got fortunate enough to watch my brother play his senior year of high school. And they had their Friday night guy who every time he went out there, he did that. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it, but I'm going to add a twist to it. I'm going to jump as high as I can. And I'm just going to get over the line. And that's going to be my thing. And so from sophomore year of high school till I'm now a senior, I've done it ever since. And I try to jump as high as I can across that line every time.
Miles, do you have any superstitions or special pregame rituals you have to do before you cleat up?
Yeah, I got to walk. Just on my walkout, I got to walk with a specific person. Yep. And if I don't walk with that specific person, like, I check the other person, like, specific. Like, I only walk with one person. Like, if I don't, like, my move messed up.
Yeah, I understand that. I did the same thing playing high school football. I did the exact same thing. I walked with the same person.
Like, at Mount Carmel, like, we had a pregame mass, like, same seats every day. Like, we don't change it up, none.
Yeah, I understand. Anything else? Drink? Certain energy drink.
I need a pack of Starburst.
Pack of Starburst?
And some gummy bears before every game.
I like it. I like it.
Maybe a C4.
Ooh. Which one, though?
The blue one.
The blue Jolly Rancher?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you all for being here. Miles, David, Griffin. I really appreciate you taking the time. And thanks for listening to the Hawk Talk Podcast. I'm Bryce Rickert, and this has been a production of QU Media Podcast Network.